Welcome, and great to have you here today. It's as we all know that the world that we live in is getting more and more complicated. And we know that deception, I really feel that the deception is really so rampant that today people are deceived than any other time. It's like deception is even creeping into the church as well. We are accepting things that are contrary to the Word of God. We are approving of things that are contrary to the Word of God. And we have no... devil is trying to silence our voice. That's what devil is doing. It's trying to silence our voice so that the devil's voice is louder than our voice. And that's what's happening. And many Christians has accepted that as normal. And that's a sad part about the church, that we are not standing strong. Because I think one of the reasons we are not doing that is we actually don't know the Word of God. Because, you know, sometimes we come to, and I'm not trying to accuse you. Please forgive me. Don't take me wrong. But if we don't know the Word of God and we don't know what we believe, it's really, really difficult to differentiate between what is true and what is false. Because deception is real. So I just felt saying that. I don't know it's for who, but I'm just following what the Spirit of God impressed in my heart. Today I'm not talking about deception, but I... So our text today is Gospel of John chapter 4. Verse 19 to 24. We're going to read that. Gospel of John, chapter 4, verse 19 to 24. It says, we're going to start reading immediately. It says, "Sir, the woman said, 'You must be a prophet. So tell me, why is it that you Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place of worship, while we Samaritans claim it to be here at Mount Gerizim, where our ancestors worshipped?' Jesus replied, 'Believe me, dear woman, the time is coming when it will no longer matter whether you worship the Father on this mountain or in Jerusalem. You Samaritans know very little about the one you worship. Well, we Jews know all about him, for salvation comes through the Jews. But the time is coming, indeed it's here now, when true worshipers," say "true worshipers," "will worship the Father in spirit," say "in spirit," "and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way. For God is spirit, so those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth." Amen. Today I'm going to talk about worship. And when I say worship, I'm not particularly saying worship is only about the songs that we sing. I'm not talking about limiting the worship to a Sunday service. I'm not even limiting the worship as when you do your devotion each day. Hopefully you do your devotion each day. I'm not limiting worship into that fashion. But worship is, as we know, true worship is actually a lifestyle. If you didn't know that, I'm telling you now, true worship, it's a lifestyle. Once we become Christian, once we come to know Christ, once we accept him as our Lord and personal Savior in our life, worship is all aspect of our life. It is everything that we do. Everything that who we are, it's worship unto the Lord. So every time that you are at work, it is a worship unto the Lord. Every time you are shopping, ladies or men, some men shop too. Every time you are doing shopping, is worship unto the Lord. Don't spend too much money. Every time, even when you are sitting around having a meal as a family or friends or having a party, whatever you are doing, whether it's a birthday party or an anniversary party, whatever party that you are doing, in that setting, it is a worship unto the Lord. So everything that we do and who we are is part of our worship to the Most High God. So in that, even with that, you need to start thinking about what you are doing. Is that pleasing unto the Lord? I just that's for free. I'm just throwing out there. What you are doing, if everything about our life is worship unto the Lord, what you are doing, is that pleasing God? Worship. Someone has said, if worship does nothing else for us, it helps us discover the things that are important. Real worship will transform your life. Worship is no longer worship when it reflects the culture around us more than the Christ within us. Think about that. I'm going to read that again. Worship is no longer worship when it reflects the culture around us more than the Christ within us. In the verse that we just read, it's a Samaritan woman who asked Jesus, saying, Jewish people say this, but we worship here. And she was more concerned about the place of worship, whether to worship in this mountain or to go to Jerusalem, where the temple was, to worship. And which one is where? Where is? And she was really deeply affected. And she really wanted to know, Jesus, what is the right thing to do? Where is the right place? And she completely missed out that at that time, ritualistically, they had a place of worship where they used to do sacrifices. They used to do a lot of other stuff. And she made that as a full worship unto God. And Jesus comes around and says, woman, It's time is coming. Time is here now. And now is the time because Jesus has arrived. And once I am here, the worship is going to, it's not about the place, it's going to transform and change into a worship internal rather than just the external. So he was talking about, and so I'm going to talk to you about 2 points, just 2 points quickly. Number one, God is looking for a true worshiper. And Jesus told this woman, saying, look, I need to, it's not about the place. It's not about the church service. You don't come into church service to worship. You should already be in worship and you have prepared yourself and you come into the church Sunday. Sunday is not actually a worship service. It's not. You bring, when Bible say we come to the building, of course, Real Life Church, and I encourage all of us to continually meet together, it's important, but it's not, you don't come here to worship. You bring worship with you. You bring worship with you. You come prepared. You don't come here to prepare yourself. A lot of the time we think of the singer and the musicians who are playing music, all that, they lead us into worship. And I need to prepare my heart in worship so I can listen to the Word of God. And Raju is preaching right now. So I can get something from the Word of God. That's not the right attitude. The right attitude is you have already worshiped the Lord. When you woke up in the morning, you have already prepared your heart and you are ready to come into this place, coming together as a body of Christ. We are actually not only worshiping God, but we are celebrating. It's the celebration of what God has done throughout the week. That's what the church service is. Church service, it's a celebration of the victory that we have won during the week. All the worship combined together, we come here to celebrate the victories of God that you have won. Amen. That's what church service is. And when we come with a heart and an attitude that way, the revival will come. Because every one of us are pouring out our true worship to God. If God is looking for a true worship, that means there is a false worship as well. And we might think, okay, false worship means those people who worship idols. That's a false worship. Yeah, that is. For Christians. And the word of God is not written for non-Christian. It's for the Christians. So the true worshipers and not the false worshipers are all in the congregation. Because it is written for us. It was not written for non-believers don't read the Bible. Hopefully they do, but they don't. We read the Bible and it's written for us. John, Apostle John, is writing to us and saying, look, God is looking for a true worship. So I'm going to ask you a question. What category do you fall in? Do you fall in a true worshiper or the false worshiper? True worship is not soulless. It transforms the whole person inside out. So when I say soulist, soul-centered, what does that mean? I want to explain to you. The soul-centered worship is all about worship with our intellect, our mind, and our emotion. Is that a bad thing? No, it's not. It's good. At least you are entering into your soul. And you're worshiping with your soul. But can I ask you a question? Is that enough? Yes. No, it's not enough. Because God is looking for a true worship. So if the person, for example, if I'm worshiping the Lord, and at worship, whether it's singing song or doing work or having a shower, or whatever you are, and the Holy Spirit really speak to you and says, Raju, remember? You spoke something to that person, and that was, you should not have done that. You'd done it with your ego. And if I'm true worshiping the Lord, I immediately do something about that. I don't say, it's okay, that's all right. I spoke the truth anyway. That is a soulless worship. If I don't do anything, when the Spirit of God impresses in my heart, it might be, Holy Spirit doesn't have to come and say, Daniel, you did this, and an audible voice. No, if that happens, praise God. But most of the time, God speaks to our spirit, in our spirit. And the Spirit of God is saying something to you about, hey, you said that in a wrong tone or the wrong way, and you hurt the person. Yes. When the Spirit of God say to me, speak to me that way, if I'm truly worshiping the Lord, I immediately say, Holy Spirit, I'm going to do something about that. And I will, when I meet that person, I go to the person, whether the person has forgotten already or not, that doesn't matter. It's not about that person. It's about you. I go to that person and say, Karina, I am very sorry of what I said. It was not appropriate. It might be the truth, but the way I said it was wrong. My tone of voice was wrong. It was out of my ego. Therefore, I ask you to please forgive me.
You're forgiven.
Thank you. So this is what worship looks like. I'm giving you a practical aspect. You know what happens with this kind of voice of the Spirit is, if we don't listen to the voice of the Spirit in a small area of our life, you will miss out in big areas.
That's right. Come on.
Because a lot of the time, people just push aside a small thing. This is just a small thing. It's okay. She will get over it. He will get over it. My wife will get over it. My husband will get over it. I don't need to. This is a petty thing. No, no, no. When the Spirit of God speaks to us, if we are truly worshiping the Lord, we need to learn to hear those voices and respond to those voices. That's what worship is. And if we are surely Christian, everything goes, touches, nothing impacts. it's a touch, spirit at all. We come to the service and, oh yes, hallelujah, praise the Lord, and we have tears, all that. It touch, but there's no impact. That's a soulless worship. How many times I have become a soulless worship as well myself. I have done that. And I'm not telling you something that I haven't done. I have worshipped the Lord with my soul many, many, many years. Many, many years. Until I come to realize that my worship was only soulless. It was my out of my ego. It's just a show. It's just a show. I'm in the church, that's what we do. I'm in the church, that's what we do. When I meet a Christian, my behavior is different. But when I meet a non-Christian, my behavior is different. And so worship is all aspect of our life. And we need to, as a believer, this sound very petty thing, but these are the things that if we miss, we will miss in a big thing. And God cannot, if we don't hear the voice of the Lord and obey the voice of the Lord, God cannot use us. He cannot. And we will miss out on a lot of His blessings and a lot of His work that He could have done with us. And it's really important to really worship the Lord, because true worship will actually transform us from inside out. So every time we come to church, we have something that we hear from the Word of God, and we go out and say, that's the area of my life that is not so right. I need to really pray about it and ask the Holy Spirit. Or if there is an area that I need to ask for forgiveness, if there is an area that I need to repent, if there is an area that really need to let go, if there is an area that I really need to seek a counselor or pastor or leader, I need that. I need to respond to that voice and really do what the Word of God says. If not, we'll look at the mirror and we have dirt everywhere, and we just go out and forget there's things in our face until other people points out to us. And we don't like it when other people points out, isn't it? So when the Holy Spirit is doing, He's gentle and loving. So let's listen and obey, and let's have a true worship unto God. And it's in Romans 12:1, it says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God, because of all He has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind He will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him. In Romans, Apostle Paul writes, he says, give your bodies as a living sacrifice. So, What is Paul meant by living sacrifice? Sacrifice. When you sacrifice something, that sacrifice does not belong to you anymore. Right? So clearly it's saying, when you offer your body as a living sacrifice to God, and if you have truly done that, your body does not belong to you anymore. Wow. That's a hard truth. Your body does not belong to you anymore. Does that mean you do whatever it pleases you? No. Or you just say, oh, my body is bad anyway, it doesn't belong to me. But you have sacrificed unto God as a living sacrifice. So it means that it is more precious, even though it doesn't belong to you, but the body is more precious than before. Because now you become steward of that body. Right? So all the overeating goes, all the overdrinking goes, all the drug taking goes, all the marijuana smoking goes, all the cigarette smoking goes, all goes out of the window. Because your body is not yours. And if you are abusing your body, Bible is very clear about that. I'm not going to even say it, what God is going to do. Because you are not allowed to abuse your body, Bible says. It's the Word of God. So it's really important for us to think about all those things, because it is important that we look after our body as a living sacrifice. God has given us our bodies, and bodies are not to use for your own pleasure and satisfaction. That is contrary to the Word of God. It's not for you to use it the way you want it. There is a boundary given in the Word of God, and parameter is laid forth by the Word of God how we should look after our bodies. Amen. And if you have used your bodies before for whatever pleasure that you want, all that, repent. God is forgiving God. God forgives. God restores. God renews. God is always there to... No, it is never too late. If you are here today, it's never too late. All right? You can always rededicate your life and ask for forgiveness. And God will forgive you, but go and sin no more. God is looking for a true worshiper. True worship will produce fruit of the Spirit. If you are really, truly worshiping the Lord, the fruits of the Spirit should be evident in your life. It is the fruits of the Spirit is for the Christian who are worshiping God truly. And when we are worshiping God, God is revealing to us the areas and things that we need to change, we need to transform, we need to leave behind. And when you respond to those voices, the fruit of the Spirit, love, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, all these fruits will be evident in your life because the Spirit of God, you are working, Spirit is working in you, and you are working and responding and obeying the voice of the Spirit. That's what worship is. And because you're doing that, you are allowing the Spirit of God to really press your ego down. Actually, not press down, ego needs to be killed. That's what the Bible says. We need to crucify our ego, our flesh, whatever you call it, and we need to be alive for God. So our spirit, Holy Spirit, should be taking control of our life. And when the Holy Spirit is taking control, it's the fruit of the Spirit. It's not our fruit. So if the Holy Spirit is taking control of your life, wouldn't be fruit involved? Because it's the Spirit of, it's the fruits of the Spirit. I'm going to give you an example. I have this water bottle here. And inside this water bottle, there is water. And let's say the outer layer of this water bottle is a flesh, soul. Talk about soul. Holy Spirit is inside as a living water in us. Every one of us have Holy Spirit. We all have Holy Spirit. But the Spirit cannot be poured because the cap is on. And this cap represents the sin. Every time, brothers and sisters, as a Christian, when we sin, something do happen. Something dies inside. It's not, don't believe that grace and everything is because of grace. You can sin as much as you want. Grace abounds more and more. Those are not a biblical teaching. Amen. They rob you from your blessing from God. It's not, that's not true. Every time we sin, we obstruct the work of the Holy Spirit. Obstruct the work of the Holy Spirit in our own life, firstly. But we can't be effective out there. We can't. So every time we sin, we open the cap. We ask God, Christians do sin. We don't become sinless. But we sin less. You understand that? We don't become sinless, but we sin less and less and less. Okay? But every time we fall into sin, we ask for forgiveness. And God forgives. And we restore back. So the Holy Spirit inside, but this soul has to bend, surrender. I just wanted to drink water. So every time the soul gives way, the Holy Spirit is poured. Understand that? Yeah? Every time, soul need to be surrendered. Until the soul is surrendered, the work of God is not complete. So next time you drink water, please think about that. True worship of God happens when we put God first in our lives. I remember in 2017, Until 2017, I had a lot of things happen since we came to Perth. And so one of the things happened was I was really, really hurt, and I had taken a lot of offense from, especially from the ministers, from the church, and pastors. That I'm not going to go into detail what happened, but there was a lot of promises made to me and all that, and then these people, of course, people are always going to be people, right? So what happened was the promises had made in the churches, all that, all promises were not kept. And I was hoping, I had hope, I had this and that. And at that time, I think probably I was also doing ministry with my soul, not so much in the spirit. So I had a lot of expectations and a lot of things that crept into my heart. And finally, after a few years, I really got really bitter and angry with the church. Surprise, I'm in church right now. So I got really angry and bitter with the church and the church leadership. And before 2017, I had, I think around 2010, 2011, 12, somewhere that time, I made a commitment in my heart. I said, I will never again go into the church and become a full-time minister again. I will never serve the Lord full-time again. So that's what I said. And I said, I'm not going to, because I was so bitter and so angry inside, thinking that all these ministers and pastors are there just to use me. And then once the use finished, when I can't do anything, they will just push me aside and find someone else. I mean, mostly it was my attitude problem as well. So I realized that and recognized that, and I repented from that. So, but I had, no matter what, I had a bitterness inside. I was really bitter and angry. In 2017, my wife and myself, we went to a church camp, and in the church camp, we signed in for the church camp, and I just wanted to have fun and good, and I was, I mean, I felt I did love the Lord and everything. I never said I will leave God and walk away. Never done that, but I was bitter and angry. I said, I want to have a good time. Church camp, I want to go. So we went. And with my amazement, what happened was the first day, the moment I walked into the camp, and I immediately started. It was held in Crown Perth. There was the hall there. And I went into, and like I was immediately started crying. And from the first day to the last day, 3 days of camp, each session I went in, I was just crying and crying and crying. I couldn't do anything else. I was crying, and I was so ashamed because I was looking my right and left, and I'm thinking, one side is my wife, but other side other people, and other people are looking at me, and I'm just sobbing and crying. And then they might be thinking, what's wrong with this guy? What is happening? He's just crying and crying and crying. And I literally, tears flowing down my eyes, and I was just crying inside, and I realized what was happening then. And after the camp, last session in the camp, I heard this audible voice in my ear. And I'm actually partially deaf in my right ear, but I heard it here, right ear. And I heard clearly saying, Raju, it's about time. And that probably meant nothing to you, but it meant a lot to me. God was telling me, he was saying to me, Raju, what promises you made long time ago about not stepping in the church, full-time into full-time ministry, church ministry, now about time for you to go back to the church. And I knew exactly what the Spirit was saying. And that very moment when I heard that voice, I made up and I really asked God, Lord, please forgive me. And I repented from what I have said. And I said, Lord, I will listen to your voice. And since 2017, slowly I started preparing myself and put myself in a places where I would be able to go into the church ministry. And that's how I was about thinking, praying about resigning from my previous job that I had, and going into that time I was serving in Kingdom City not as a staff but volunteer basis, and I upbeat my volunteer basis more, went into the training center and did a leadership program and all that to prepare myself to see I heard the voice of God, I knew God has called in my life, and I had to prepare myself and put in a places where God can actually open the door. So even though God calls you, you still have to do something about it. You can't just sit around and hoping everything God will do it for you. God calls you, you need to sharpen, God gives you the axe, you need to sharpen the axe. If God gives you sharp axe, it's good, but you need to sharpen it. Most of the time, it's not a sharp axe. He gives you an axe, you sharpen it. You still need to do something about it. So if God has called you, my question is, what are you doing? And God had called me, I did something, and finally I got into ministry. I was in the full-time ministry, and again, after a while, God says, it's time for you. This is not where I want you to be. And I resigned. And then I didn't have a job. I resigned. I believe God will open the door. I resigned. I was looking for other jobs. And somehow God connected me with Pastor David and Rochelle and Pastor Bethwin in this church. And that's how I'm here today. And my family is here. And I know that God has called me to be here and my family. And without the shadow of doubt, true worship is surrender, complete surrender. When you surrender completely, God opens the door. God makes the way. Number two, true worshipers must worship God in the spirit. The worship needs to come out of our heart. It's not so much about raising our hands, kneeling down, even though if our heart is truly worshiping, those things will happen. But those things that we are doing does not necessarily mean we are worshiping. If the heart is not involved, it's not a worship. The heart is the place from which we pour out our worship to God. From our heart, I'm ready. My ego is completely dead. I have crucified my flesh. I have crucified it. My heart is fully aware of God's presence. And if the God's presence shows anything in my heart that is impure, that is not pure, that is not holy, that is not acceptable, I am willing to take that out and throw it aside and follow God, even though sometimes those things might take a pain, it might involve pain in our life. Sometimes taking those things is painful, throwing those things are painful, but I'm willing to do so because I worship the Lord. My heart is changed. It will be sad in Matthew 15:8 if God says, these people of real life honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. That will be the sad statement for all of us. We don't want that to happen. I'm sure you don't want that to happen. Let worship the Lord with our heart. The posture of our heart, which is the inner being. Now, we're not talking about blood pumping, this heart that pumps. We're not talking about that. It's the inner being who you are, really. That heart is essential to God in worship. Not so much the words of the songs, even though they are important. And not so much just our feelings and emotions. Sometimes we go to church, we have hype of emotions and feelings, even though they are good. God has emotions too, but it's not that limited to the emotions. The moment we hype everything, God, good, yeah, hallelujah, praise the Lord, ow! The moment we walk out, we become normal, go back to the world again. And that is not a worship. It's not true worship anyway. It's not a worship that comes out from the spirit because the heart has not changed. May God make us a worshiper that will worship in truth and in spirit. In conclusion, something you can consider now. What do you value the most? Someone has said, what we worship, we become. What we worship or who we worship, we become. If we worship God, Jesus Christ, we become like Him. If we worship money, we are always running after the money. If we worship wealth, we're always running after the wealth. How can I accumulate wealth? How can I make bigger houses? Houses, all these are good. Wealth is good if you put them in the right order, right place. But if we chase after those things, careers, they become our worship, object of our worship. Is your worship true and transformative? Is it worship that you're worshiping is transforming you? What are you going to do with today's word? Is there any changes you need to make today that will make your life more like Christ? My dear brothers and sisters, amazing people, God is looking for a true worshiper. And we must worship God in the Spirit and in the truth. Amen. Shall we all stand? If you are here and you have never accepted Jesus Christ in your life, you have never called Him Lord, worship starts from there. And I'm going to give you an opportunity quickly. If there is anyone who have never accepted Jesus Christ in your heart and today you are here, and while I was talking about worship, you realize that you are worshiping something else, someone else. Surrender your life to Jesus. If there is anyone who wants to accept Jesus Christ today for the first time, or you have been here for so many weeks but you have never opened your heart to Jesus, I encourage you to do so now. If you are here for today, you want to accept Jesus Christ in your heart, can you please signify me with your lifting of your right hand so I can pray for you? Is there anyone? Is there anyone? No hands. I'm seeing no hands. So I'm assuming that every one of us are Christian here. Praise the Lord. The other thing is we're going to sing this song. I just want you to make an effort by faith. Faith is an action word. It's not just a passive word. Faith requires action. And we're going to sing this song. And I want you to resurrender your life to Christ in worship. Even though we are singing song, but you are making a commitment today saying, Lord, I want to worship you in truth, in spirit, and I want you to change my heart, transform my heart. And while I'm preaching, if any area of your life, Holy Spirit, put a finger, don't let that just go. Respond. And when you respond, God will come. Jesus Christ will come and put His arm around you and speak to you. So I'm going to open this front space for you. And we're going to sing this song. As many as you want, you can. Please, let's come forward and let's finish this service with a round of amazing song and worship. Thank you, Jesus. Let's sing.